This is the Senate Committee on Rules. The meeting day is April 5th, 2005, Tuesday. Meeting is held at Woodburn High School in Woodburn, Oregon. The committee chair is Senator Kate Brown.
Good morning, and we're just delighted to have so many students here this morning. I'm State Senator Kate Brown. I represent Portland and the city of Milwaukee. I am currently chair of the Rules Committee. To my right is Senator Frank Shields. To my left is the committee administrator, Tiffany Harris. She's a lawyer. We stole her for the legislative session. And to my far left are Representative Betty Comp and the Senate President, Peter Courtney. There will be other senators arriving. This is very typical of a Senate hearing. Senators come and go. They arrive late. They come early. They leave. They stand up. So we'll just pretend like this is a real Senate hearing. So turns out one of my committee members, Senator Ringo, had a hearing in Salem starting at 7 o'clock this morning, and they didn't finish in a timely manner. So we're hoping they will arrive soon. There are a number of dignitaries in the audience. I'd like to recognize them. If you would please hold your applause till we're through the entire list. I know that Commissioner Patty Milne, former state representative, is in the audience. Welcome, Patty. We're delighted to have you here. The mayor of Jervis, Mayor Joe Simmons, is here. City Councilor Faye Ladd is also here from the city of Jervis. From the city of Woodburn, we have the mayor, Catherine Figley. We have the police chief, Scott Russell. We have the city administrator, John Brown, who was here earlier. And then from the Woodburn School District, we have the chair of the Woodburn School Board, Brett Meacham. And I believe also in attendance will be the Woodburn superintendent, Walt Bloomberg. So let's give these folks a round of applause. Thanks for being here. To give you a little background, the Oregon State Senate and also the Oregon House are doing some road tours during the legislative session. We're doing that to make it a little easier for everyone to participate in the legislative process, and we've done community hearings all across the state, from Coos Bay to Medford to Pendleton to Ontario. I think we're going to Ontario next week, so all over the state. And the reason why I wanted to come to Woodburn High School, other than it was pretty close to the state capitol and pretty easy for our staff to get all the equipment here, was that I know that the Supreme Court has taken their hearings on the road and had hearings at high schools and middle schools around the state, and we just thought it was a really wonderful way for you all to participate and watch us in action. What you're going to be watching is an actual Senate hearing. We're going to take public testimony on bills that are before us. The Rules Committee staff, I introduce Tiffany Harris to my left, and to my far right is Patricia Nielsen. She's also a lawyer. Patricia and I went to law school together. And they're going to be recording the hearing, and whatever is said is going to be made of a part of a public record. Once we finish, there's a possibility we may work the bills or bills. If we actually have the votes, we may add some amendments. I don't know. We need more committee members here before we can do that. We don't have a quorum. But if we decide to pass either one of the resolutions before you, it will then go to the Senate floor. Unlike many state legislatures in Oregon, it's very difficult to amend a bill or a resolution on the Senate floor. Most of the work is done in the committee process. So I'm going to ask the committee administrator to give us a brief overview of the two resolutions that are before us and ask our two invited members to come forward and get seated while Ms. Harris explains the resolutions. And I need to open a public hearing on SJR 10 and SJR 11. We are officially in subcommittee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have two bills before us, two joint resolutions, actually, and these are joint resolutions because they propose amendments to our state constitution. First, we have Senate Joint Resolution 10, which proposes an amendment to the Oregon Constitution that would allow voter registration on the same day as an election. We also have Senate Joint Resolution 11, which proposes an amendment to the Oregon Constitution to allow 17-year-olds to register for and vote in primary elections if they will be 18 years of age by the date of the general election.
And just for everyone's information, we're going to be taking testimony on both resolutions at the same time. So
I'd first like to welcome Mr. Secretary of State Bill Bradbury, Senator Ryan Deckert. Mr. Secretary, would you please tell us a little bit about what your job is, just briefly, and then we'd welcome your testimony.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Bill Bradbury, Oregon Secretary of State. One of my jobs is to oversee 36 county elections offices that see that elections happen, that votes are counted, and that everybody who wants to participate can within the law. And so that's what brings me here today. Madam Chair, I don't know whether I should testify first or whether Senator Deckert should testify first, since it's your resolutions.
But I defer to our statewide elected officials.
Okay.
Madam Chair, President Courtney, Representative Comp, Senator Shields, and other members of the committee as they arrive, it's a real pleasure to be here. I have to say first that every time I've come to Woodburn High School, I've had a wonderful experience, and this is no exception given the incredible turnout behind me of students here to participate. And in the spirit of doing hearings outside of Salem, given that I work in Salem, I will keep my testimony brief so that other people have a chance to testify. As I said, one of my duties is to oversee elections in the state of Oregon, and it's in that capacity that I'm here today. In my 5-plus years as Secretary of State, I have worked to remove impediments to voting. I think that Senate Joint Resolution 10 would make it possible for more Oregonians to vote, and therefore I am supportive of Senate Joint Resolution 10. Now, let me be clear that while I support SJR 10, the elections community is not uniformly in support. You'll hear from a very good friend of mine, and that Newingham, the Lane County Clerk, later today, about the administrative difficulty of processing last-minute registrations, especially in our unique vote-by-mail state. And so I think that a critical compromise in the statute would be to require anyone registering within this last 3-week window, that close to the election, to do so, to require that they do so in person at an elections office. So I think that would really make this work pretty well. This would effectively end voter registration drives right up to election day, and the tremendous number of registrations that come with those drives would have to come in, as it is now, three weeks before the election, and that would still, but by making that amendment, you'd still provide individuals the opportunity to vote. And that's sort of my driving principle here, is we want to have every qualified Oregonian able to vote at the polls. Now, Oregon is, in fact, the only state to once have had same-day registration that is now without same-day registration. However, in 1986, Oregonians responded to a threat that took place in Central Oregon with the Rajneeshis taking over the elections in Antelope, and they passed an initiative that created the current 3-week deadline. Chair Brown, members of the committee, I think all of us recognize that the Rajneeshis are long gone, and I think it's time to offer Oregonians the opportunity to revisit a decision that was made in a very tense and very difficult time. I think it's time to once again take up same-day registration. Now, Oregon's voter turnout was the third highest in 2004, in the most recent presidential election. The only two states that had higher turnout than Oregon allow same-day registration. So let's get back to same-day registration and take over the top spot next time around. So I would ask you to help us make Oregon the highest voter turnout state in the country, and you need to do that by supporting SJR 10. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Thank you. Mr. Secretary, just sort of one clarification for the students that are in the audience. My recollection of the Rajneesh incidents, it was in the early, mid-80s, and looking at the age of the audience, my guess is most of them are unaware of what happened in Oregon. Could you briefly describe what happened?
Well, basically what happened was there was a large community that was created in Central Oregon, Rajneesh Purim, and they the Rajneeshis, bust in a whole large number of people to vote in Central Oregon, because basically the Rajneeshis wanted to take over one very small town, Antelope, Oregon, and they brought in a whole bunch of people literally on the day of or the day before the election and had them registered, and then they voted, and the results of the election saw that Antelope was in fact taken over.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
Madam Chair.
Senator Shields.
I think an interesting addendum to the story is that 60,000-acre ranch that was Rajneesh Purim is now a youth camp. Any young person here could go to that. It's a camp open
right.
for kids to go in the summertime. So it's being put to good use these days.
There was a positive outcome to the story, Madam Chair.
And Mr. Secretary, are you familiar with the state of Minnesota and what happened with same-day registration allowing a man by the name of Jesse Ventura to get elected to governor? Are you? Are you familiar with that?
I am familiar with that. It was clear that a lot of new people registered in the last week or so before the election because they were inspired by Jesse Ventura's platform.
Okay, thank you. Senator Deckert, take it away.
Madam Chair, Chair Brown, Senator Shields, Senate President Peter Courtney, and Representative Betty Comp, very pleased to be before you. And I first should report that I knew of the Rajneesh Purim story, and just pleased that I didn't date myself that much, that when the Secretary of State mentioned Rajneesh Purim, I was with him every step of the way.
He was six.
So, Madam Chair, Senate Joint Resolution 10 comes to you in many ways because of my fondness for the state of Minnesota, who I know the chair of this committee was birthed in Minnesota, and Minnesota is one of the great, great states in the country and really is the inspiration for this bill because Susie Funkenhauser and myself in our office were chatting before the session about the wonderful experience that Minnesota had with same-day registration. What we found, Madam Chair, is that actually six other states do permit this same-day registration, and they do it for really one reason, because the foundation of our democracy is voter participation. And where we saw in the 80s and in the early 90s a declining pace of voter involvement, this is one tool that states have employed to actually counter that trend. And I would say, and we'll talk about Senate Joint Resolution 11 next, but I would say behind me is our best evidence both on 17-year-olds participating and all Oregonians gaining that right of enfranchisement. This is one quiver. SJR 11 is another quiver to actually confront that. In those six states, Idaho, Maine, Minnesota, New Hampshire, Wisconsin, and Wyoming, they typically have a voter turnout approximately 10% higher than the national average. So these states that actually employ this receive and get higher turnout. In 2004, the four states with the highest voter turnout allowed same-day registration. The National Conference of State Legislatures found states that allow election day registration report no significant differences in fraud, and I think Secretary of State Bradbury actually makes a good suggestion to this bill, is to ensure, because these are going to be folks that are very, very highly motivated. They're people that on election day They want to vote, and we can just look back to this last election. They would have to go down, be so motivated that they're going to go down to the county clerk's office in person, register themselves, and cast their ballot. I think we should mirror Minnesota's process, in which the residents of each resident of each registrant is validated by a non-forwardable postcard, and that new registrants are recorded within 30 days of following the election. And I also think we should adopt a system similar to Maine's, which requires that election day registrants who are unable to provide adequate proof of identity and residence, they would cast a challenge ballot that is investigated in the event of a close election. And Washington actually provides a good model of how that system works in their gubernatorial election, which was very close. They went through with the Secretary of State all those challenge ballots. Madam Chair, the Help America Vote Act, which was a federal act, has requirements for a central computerized registration system. The January 1st, 2006 is the deadline. This would actually be helpful if Oregon adopts same-day registration to conform with the requirements of HAVA. The specifics, and you have my written testimony before you, the specifics are, since Oregonians vote by mail, election day registration would take place at the local county clerk's office. Under current state law, a voter must be registered at least 21 days before the election. Undoubtedly, there are many, many citizens, I would argue, many of them youthful citizens, that want to vote but are unaware of the registration guidelines and then discover the registration deadline has passed prior to that 21 days. Since Oregonians vote by mail, citizens would be required to locate their local county clerk's office and transport themselves there on election day. These voters would demonstrate such a tenacity and a determination to vote that same-day registration would benefit them, and I think, given our strong desire to increase enfranchisement in the state, same-day registration would be a real solid move to ask the voters to adopt this system, which I think, given the choice, voters would vote for more enfranchisement and greater participation in their democracy. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Deckard. Questions? Mr. President.
Thank you, Chair Brown. Senator Deckard, the requirements to register in Oregon today are what?
Madam Chair, Mr. President, under the current state law, would a voter, and we have the expert here seated to my right, but a resident has to be, it's 21 days before, so you, as you know, we have vote by mail. So someone would have to look out on a November 4 election. It's going to be early October that they're going to have to be doing the calculation in their head to actually receive, and then I think it's doubtful whether they get that mail ballot. And so with the mail-in voting, I think this, you really need some provisions like this so that you've got those folks who are excluded from that window, who aren't thinking a month and ahead of an election, that they can actually, at least if they have that desire, go down to the county clerk's office.
Madam Chair,
Mr. President.
I don't think I made myself clear. You have to be what, a resident of the state of Oregon?
Correct.
For how many months?
Resident of the state of Oregon.
But I'm reading the they resided in the state during 6 months immediately preceding. That's what I'm getting at. I'm simply trying to get at what exists now in law and the Constitution to allow you to have this if we were to pass this. And that's all I'm getting at is these qualifications. So the 6 months is what? In the state of Oregon prior to the election? Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, that would be correct.
18 years of age, right?
I'm just, right. Have to be 18 years of age. You have to be a citizen of the United States of America, and you have to have residency in the state of Oregon.
So my point is, because those who might oppose it would say simply anybody could come from Idaho or Washington, California, on the day of the election. That's not going to be possible under these resolutions or these pieces of legislation. Isn't that correct? They just can't come in that day and register to vote in the state of Oregon.
That's my impression, Mr. Chair, or Mr. President. I haven't specifically reviewed. I cannot give you.
Okay. Well, I'm not trying to confuse anyone. I just want to make sure that people don't get the impression that Oregon adopts same-day registration, which election day, which I support, that anybody can come in from California or Washington, Idaho, or border states on the day of the election and simply, okay, I'm going to go vote in Oregon today. There are some other qualifications here. That's the only point I was trying to place in the record. That's all.
Yes.
He's correct, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Eckert. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Any further questions, Mr. President?
Just one other thing. The election would be held on November of 2006 for these resolutions. Is that correct as I read this? That is correct. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Questions for either Senator Eckert or Mr. Secretary, and that is fraud. Have any of the states that have had same-day voter registration had any problems with fraudulent registration? I assume the major hurdle is proving that a person has been residing in the state for 6 months preceding the day of registration. But have there been any instances of fraud in the other states that allow for same-day registration?
Madam Chair, none that I'm aware of that make same-day registration states any. There's no greater level of fraud in same-day registration states than there is in all states, as far as I know.
And Madam Chair, the National Conference of State Legislatures made the decision to look into this issue to ensure that no fraud, because there seems to be uniform agreement that we would desire better access to the polls. They looked into it and found no evidence of any fraud in any of the states that employ this.
Okay. Any further questions? Senator Shields.
Yes. Secretary Bradbury, since Senator Ferrioli has arrived, maybe he has a better answer than either you or I might have. But getting to a county elections office is fairly easy in Multnomah County or Marion County. But if you get over the mountains, how far would it be from the furthest corner of a county to a county elections office to register on that last day, that same day of election? And have there been any accommodations for those longer distances, like possibilities of not having to go to that place, but maybe a designated outpost with an elections officer?
Madam Chairman.
Senator Ferrioli.
Is that question in miles or hours?
Senator Ferrioli, who just arrived, represents 12 counties in eastern Oregon and is the Senate Republican leader. So either one of you want to respond, or do you want Senator Ferrioli to respond to that?
Well, I'm, Madam Chair, clearly, you know, I'm from the south coast of Oregon, which is a fairly rural area, and people would... The amendment that I proposed would say you had to register at the county elections office in the final 3 weeks before the election.
Okay.
So that would mean that some people would have to travel, you know, from the south coast, you'd have to travel maybe 60 or 70 miles. Senator Ferrioli, I'm sure, can add some miles to that from Malheur County. I'm sure that they'd have to travel further if they wanted to register on election day or in the last 3 weeks.
Thank you. Senator Shields.
My only comment there is, you know, while we don't think of it as much, I'd like to keep rural populations in mind and wonder if there could be an accommodation to that, given some of the very large distances that we're talking about these days, given the increasing price of gasoline and travel in general and so on. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Senator Ferrioli.
Madam Chairman, from Jordan Valley, the route would take you through Idaho to the county seat. So it might take you a day to make the round trip.
And at today's gas prices, that's a very expensive trip. So,
Madam Chair.
Senator Deckert.
Just on that, though, this would give them that option. Right now, they don't have that option. And so the nice aspect of this is at least if they actually wanted to cast their ballot, now they'd have another option at their disposal.
Thank you. Senator Decker, do you want to give us testimony on SGR 11? I don't know, Mr. Okay. SGR 11, take it away.
I'll work on him on SGR 11 and
okay.
See if we can't. Madam Chair, SGR 11, and thank you again for having us before this committee and considering SGR 11. It is really aimed at the folks behind me. It is aimed at 17-year-olds, students who we have seen the evidence of declining voter participation in that important cohort of citizens, 18 to 34. And so this gives Secretary of State Bradbury, all of us, anyone who's concerned about the future of the democracy, the ability to just simply go into high schools in the spring Actually, you would do it if we were last year. You'd go in April or May, which we don't have that option today, and you could register these students. Right now, they can't. 13 other states have given 17-year-olds the ability to pre-register. We do it with the draft. We do it with marriage statutes. We do it, obviously, with criminal records. And I think in a democracy, the most important thing we could also add to that list is giving these guys behind me the ability to, if they're going to be 18 at Election Day, the ability to go in and pre-register and get involved in the democracy. And I think you would see, but they'll be the best barometer of this, I think you would see a huge, huge interest on the part of 17-year-olds to actually jump into the political frays and storms that we're in every day and get involved in these elections. They volunteer, and this would actually give them the right to just cast a ballot.
Great. Thank you, Senator Deckert. Any questions from the committee? Thank you both very much. We appreciate you being here.
A
couple of unpaid service announcements. Just a reminder, in our Senate committees, we fine lobbyists for failure to turn off your cell phones. So we won't be fining you here, but we'd certainly ask that you keep your cell phones turned off. Don't they have to in class, Ms. Kopp, Representative Kopp? Don't they have to keep their cell phones off?
Yes, they should keep their cell phones on either vibrate or silence at all times.
Okay, thank you. And then if anybody wants to sign up, the sign-up sheets are at the podium. I would ask Ms. Newingham and Ms. Andy Miller to come on up. I think I saw Ms. Miller in the audience.
Yeah.
And Senator Deckert, did you have something else?
No.
Okay. And I also wanted to thank the principal for the bulldogs in the room. We each received a souvenir bulldog and a keychain, so thank you very much. We will treasure these.
Students signed up.
The bulldogs in the room, aren't there? Or a few bulldog wannabes?
Thank you.
I hope they're not going to read this whole testimony. They're not going to thank the students.
You want to meet? Oh,
forget. All right. We have two people who are going to go ahead and testify. Ms. Newingham, do you want to go first? And are you on SJR 10 or SJR 11 or both?
Both.
Okay. Please proceed.
For the record, my name is Annette Newingham. I'm Lane County Elections official, and also I'm here representing the Association of County Clerks. On SJR 10, this testimony is in opposition on behalf of the association. Current law, ORS 247.303, provides that a registered voter, currently active or inactive, may update their registration at any time before 8 p.m. on the day of the election. This was a change made in 1999 to provide Oregonians the opportunity to update their registration and still qualify to vote the correct ballot through Election Day. This was a very positive change to the statutes and benefited the citizens of Oregon. The reason for that the change enacted in 1999 wasn't extended to same-day registration was the history of what happened in 1984 in Antelope, Wasco County. County Clerk Karen Breton Coates has summarized the history of that situation on the attached document, which I would like to share with the committee. This registration deadline was enacted by Oregonians in response to what occurred in Wasco County in 1984. Leaders of the Rajneesh commune in Antelope and Rajneesh Brahm were determined to take over the government of Wasco County. In late October, they bused in homeless people from Portland, California, and as far away as New York, offering them a place to live and returning for registering and voting in the November general election. This small county with approximately 13,000 registered voters was overwhelmed with thousands of new voter registrations. The county clerk and the secretary of state opted to hold hearings into the validity of those new registrations. The registrants who attended the hearings were allowed to vote. Fortunately, many of the new registrants declined to attend the hearings, so the Rajneeshis were not able to take over Wasco County. After the election, the homeless were banished from the commune. Many ended up on the streets of the Dalles, Portland, and other Oregon cities. The 20-day registration cutoff was enacted as a result of this last-minute registration takeover, and I believe it should be remained. And this is Karen LeBreton Coates from Wasco, Wasco County Clerk. Oregon has a strong reputation for actively engaging its citizens and participating in its elections, while still balancing the accuracy of its voter registration rolls. This is often a delicate balancing act of having the laws and processes in place that provide opportunity for registration and still adequate time for election officials to ensure the validity of those registrations. Besides situations that could and have occurred in such as Wasco County, maintaining accurate rolls was already challenging in the past general election, with the highest registrations received in recent history, and that was with the 21st day registration cutoff. For example, Lane County processed over 25,000 registration cards in October alone. Many of the registration cards were received less than 2 weeks prior to the election due to late registration drives and postmarks that still qualified. Lane County election staff
This testimony is in opposition on behalf of the association. Current law OS 247.303 provides that a registered voter, currently active or inactive, may update their registration at any time before 8 p.m. on the day of the election. This was a change made in 1999 to provide Oregonians the opportunity to update their registration and still qualify to vote the correct ballot through Election Day. This was a very positive change to the statute and benefited the citizens of Oregon. The reason for that the change enacted in 1999 wasn't extended to same-day registration was the history of what happened in 1984 in Antelope, Wasco County. County Clerk Karen LeBreton Coates has summarized the history of that situation on the attached document, which I would like to share with the committee. This registration deadline was enacted by Oregonians in response to what occurred in Wasco County in 1984. Leaders of the Rajneesh commune in Antelope and Rajneesh Gram were determined to take over the government of Wasco County. In late October, they bused in homeless people from Portland, California, and as far away as New York, offering them a place to live in return for registering and voting in the November general election. This small county with approximately 13,000 registered voters was overwhelmed with thousands of new voter registrations. The county clerk and the secretary of state opted to hold hearings into the validity of those new registrations. The registrants who attended the hearings were allowed to vote. Fortunately, many of the new registrants declined to attend the hearings, so the Rajneeshis were not able to take over Wasco County. After the election, the homeless were banished from the commune. Many ended up in the streets of the Dalles, Portland, and other Oregon cities. The 20-day registration cutoff was enacted as a result of this last-minute registration takeover, and I believe it should be remained. And this is Karen LeBreton Coates from Wasco, Wasco County Clerk. Oregon has a strong reputation for actively engaging its citizens and participating in its elections, while still balancing the accuracy of its voter registration rolls. This is often a delicate balancing act of having the laws and processes in place that provide opportunity for registration and still adequate time for election officials to ensure the validity of those registrations. Besides situations that could and have occurred in such as Wasco County, maintaining accurate rolls was already challenging in the past general election, with the highest registrations received in recent history, and that was with the 21st day registration cutoff. For example, Lane County processed over 25,000 registration cards in October alone. Many of the registration cards were received less than 2 weeks prior to the election due to late registration drives and postmarks that still qualified. Lane County election staff were unable to process all registration cards by the last day required to mail, which is the 14th day before the election. And we were probably a couple of days behind that deadline. This was an election where Lane County had moved from a square footage of 7,000 square feet to 15,000 square feet, hired 250 extra help employees, yet we were still having trouble keeping up with the volumes received. Lane County was not unique to this situation, and changing to same-day voter registration would only compress the process of registration and processing voted ballots in an overlapping time frame. The Association of County Clerks strongly supports voter registration and encouraging our citizens, young and old alike, to participate in all our elections. We election officials also want to ensure that Oregon maintains the strong reputation of maintaining accurate voter registration rolls and conducting flawless elections. And we urge the committee's support in retaining the current registration deadline to help election officials maintain that reputation. I would also like to kind of comment on the 21st day registration. We do not do any validation of 60 days. I would like to tell you that I've been an election official since 1990, and it's just the 21st day when we receive a card. If they're a resident of Oregon on the 21st day, they're registered. During the time when we had same-day registration, it was if they came in and registered and said they were a citizen, that was the only requirement. I really do not quite understand the 60-day. That would be something that there must be some historical background on that.
Are you talking about the 6 months requirement?
Not 60 days, but 6 months. Yes, correct.
It's a constitutional requirement, but what you're saying is county clerks don't abide by it or don't verify it.
Chair Brown, members of the committee, I'm very interested in the background on that. It has always been the 21st day and they sign the oath, and there's never been any validation by clerks.
Thank you. Questions for Ms. Willingham on this particular measure? Did you want to, Senator Shields?
Yes. Have you studied other states that do the same day registration, the last day registration, and what's the difference in the rates of accuracy and some of the other issues that you've raised between Oregon and those states?
Chair Brown and Senator Shields. No, I have not done any particular studies on that particular issue. I do know the reality that we deal with right now. We get a lot of people that register at the last minute still for different circumstances. Processing registration, last general election was, we went from 177,000 in the May election to 212,000 by the general election, so we processed a great deal of registration. We also in Lane County had a turnout of 91.8%, which is incredible, and especially with the high rate of registration. So we had a lot of voter registration drives that did go to the communities, both the universities and the high schools, and to get young people voting, which is extremely important. As to other states, we are very unique. We're the only all-male election state, so we do present some issues that are very different from poll elections. I do conduct poll elections. We used to do what was called fail-safe ballots. I was not in the same-day registration because it was prior to my time, so I don't know.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Ms. Lingham, would the clerks currently do not do anything to determine residency?
Chair Brown, members of the committee, Senator Ferrioli. We do, they sign an oath, there is a note that they're a resident of the state of Oregon, but the requirement is the 21st day in the current Oregon statutes, and it says that they need to be a resident as of the 21st day. The conflict with the Constitution, I can't answer, and I would say that the Labor Secretary of State's office would need to respond to that issue.
Madam Chair, I think that's an issue for us to take up, the conflict between the Constitution and the statute. It wouldn't be the first time the state of Oregon, acting by and through its legislature, has sidestepped or overlooked the operation of the Oregon Constitution. But maybe we should drill into that issue.
Thank you,
Madam Chair.
Other comments? Representative Kopp.
My comment is, we saw it in Washington where they did not declare their race for governor for some time, and as being a candidate that also did not have my race declared until 3 weeks after an election in 2002. Do you think that's something we ought to consider, is looking at that timeline after the actual election day?
Chair Brown and Representative Kopp, I definitely think that it is important that there is adequate time after the election to be able to certify the election. Oregon, fortunately, does have some very good legislative rules. We do not certify the election until the 20th day after. If you did have same-day registration, it would complicate matters to some degree because I would imagine that as an election official, I would be challenging many, many more registrations of those that were coming in at the last minute, and that would take a more time to be able to send letters and to resolve those issues, which could make it a little more problematic on the 20th day.
Thank you. Did you want to testify on this, Chair 11, as well?
I would like to, yes, and it's I'll be brief on this one. On SJR 11, there's one primary concern pertaining to SJR 11. Right at this particular time, the way the bill is written, 17-year-olds would be able to register and vote in the primary election. We also have a September election, mm-hmm. and I'm not too sure how the mechanics of that would work. I would imagine we would have to register them, cancel the registration for the September election and re-register them for the general because it would be for the nominating ballot. I would also be highly concerned about the mechanics of the primary election itself that has other measures on the ballot, and how would nonpartisan issues that don't have primary nominating contests, because we do have other things on the ballot besides even measures. So there are some issues that would be questionable how we would be able to do that in the 36 counties. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you. Ms. Miller, welcome. Chair Brown, members of the committee, and others here today. For the record, my name is Andy Miller. I'm the Executive Director of Common Cause Oregon. I was late today because I was cramming for my final. This bill came up quickly. As you know, Common Cause supports every effort to engage voters. In this case, we're dealing with a population we call unlikely voters. Unlikely voters are young people, low-income people, and people of color. The likely voters are the ones the advertisers target early in the campaign. As we get closer to the actual day of the election, more and more people are bombarded with messages and maybe become interested. We do not want these people to lose the opportunity to register to vote because the 21-day deadline has passed. I have some interesting information that I was doing when I was cramming for my final, and I think Annette would be interested in this, too. North Dakota has no voter registration. Isn't that interesting? And of the 60,
they also don't have a lot of people.
And all the votes vote. So there's some interesting ways to look at this and interesting things we find out. Oregon has a state-of-the-art voting and a middling registration deadline. That means we are halfway in between the shortest window, which is election day registration, and 30 days, which is the longest. What I would suggest is to those who oppose this, come up with a proposal to register those 18% of Oregonians who are currently not registered. It's phenomenal what we are doing in this state. with right to vote. And this is one more opportunity. I have some suggestions. First of all, I'd like to address the constitutional question because I was in the Elections Division last night at 4 o'clock because I looked at that and I said, wait a minute, I don't recall having seen this. About two sessions ago, we had to take some language out of the Constitution that was no longer applied. I believe it had something to do with race. I don't know, slavery, something like that. Do you remember that? Two sessions ago, we removed some sections of the Constitution become obsolete, and statute supersede the Constitution. And it is my understanding that from the Elections Division that is the case here now. I think it's troubling, and I think we should nail down that particular language. And my suggestion would be very simple. On the current voter registration form, there are two places that you have to check before you sign your affidavit. One is age, and one is that you're a citizen.
I've just been informed that the bell, and we're going to get a few minutes of music, which is a much nicer replacement for a long bell. So, but please proceed.
Didn't mean anything. I need to be okay, so that was, did you hear that suggestion? So here's your form, and just add them in the checkbox. Depending on what you want that residency requirement to be. And you can vote, if you have just moved here, you can vote absentee, arrange that in the prior state, for example. County isn't a problem. So these are the kind of issues I was looking into, having lived in seven states myself. We need to have a secure way of registering to vote if we are going to have Election Day registration, and I think that the county clerk's office is right on the money there. I know the county clerks are not excited about this opportunity right now, but the technology is going to be so much better. If you've seen the new system, we're going to have such an improvement. We could phase this in and try it in certain counties, perhaps. There's all sorts of ways to do it. Another thing to look at, and I know we're always looking at money, I think we need to staff up these offices for this time. How do dollars have many ways they can be spent, and this is one of the ways they could be spent in the voter education segment. So I suggest that we look at the possibilities for seeking additional HABA dollars or using, excuse me, Help America Vote Act. Are you one of those people that penalizes acronyms?
No.
Get confused in these committees. Obviously, I could go on and on about this, but I think that I'll do is stop and let you ask me any questions to see where my research led me. And on Senate Joint Resolution 10, I'm not certain about that. My organization has taken a yes stance on that issue simply because we want to allow every opportunity. Again, I think that I believe that people who are going to register are going to vote in the general election should vote in the primary because they're going to get to choose those candidates. And I think it would be a digital sorting mechanism to code ballots not to go to people in September to whom that would apply. I think, again, it's a technological solution. And I don't know if you saw the voter registration software demonstrated in the House Rules and Elections Committee, but it's fabulous. And I have no doubt that in the future we'll be able to pull things like that without causing too many problems.
Great.
Thank you.
Is there any questions? Thank you very much. We appreciate both of you being here this morning. Next thing we'll have on the list for SJR 11, Daniel Zitz and Kalani Estefano. What's the timing?
You have a cold flight.
Okay. And then next I'm going to have Elizabeth Redmond and Sonarisa Cooper testify. So, welcome, have a seat. We're going to need to have you testify during the music. It'll provide some good background. Okay. Did you state for the record your name?
I'm Claudia Tapio. I'm from Valley High School.
I'm Daniel Zipsy. I'm also from Valley Catholic. I live in Portland.
Great. Thanks for coming down today. What do you want to tell us about SJR 11?
First, I just wanted to say I'm in support of this bill. As I do live in Multnomah County, I am taxed by the county, by the state, and the U.S. government. Since I hold a job, I think it's only right that I'm able to vote and show what I believe in through our action, and I believe that passing this bill would help me, and I would hate to be denied that right just because I'm not old enough to vote in the primary, even though I would be able to vote in the actual election.
I'm also in support of this bill.
Can you put the microphone real quick? Yeah, there you go.
I'm also in support of this bill because I think that it's not necessarily changing the voting age per se, because you still have to be 18 by the election. It's just giving you the right that if you're most people whose birthday is kind of close to the base, it allows them to also vote in the primaries and to register in time and be prepared for the election and where if they like the whole on day election thing where they wouldn't be able to now unless of course the other bills passed. They would be able to register before while they're 17 so that they can vote if they're in the primaries and for the elections while they're 18, so it's not changing what they're when they're okay. It's not changing how old they have to be to vote for the general election, but it's just allowing them from the primaries, which I think for 17-year-olds like we are, it makes us feel more in control and like we have a say in things more.
Great. Does either of you think that SJR 11 will help, will encourage young people to register to vote and to participate in the process?
I think it would because I'm 17 and I would vote, or I would register to vote earlier if I could.
Do you agree?
I agree. I was continuously asked before this election if I was old enough to vote, and unfortunately I had to turn them down because I was not able to. So if this did pass, I would be very encouraged to take that right and actually vote.
Thank you. Questions? Did we get the Senator?
I have a question. Do you think students ought to be able to register for the draft at 17 years old? If they'll be 18 by the time we declare the next war.
My personal belief is I myself would not want to go into the military in the draft, but if we do have the right to vote at 18, I think that's the age that we should also be able to go into the draft. I suppose you may want to be able to register for the draft and not actually enter until you're 18 if you wanted to make parallels to this SJR 11.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you both very much. We appreciate you coming down. I hope you got excused from school. next, Elizabeth Redman and Sonia Cooper. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Good morning, Chad Brown and committee members. My name is Elizabeth Redman, and I am here on behalf of the Youth Caucus, which is an arm of the Oregon Bus Project, run and organized by very bright high school students. Because I believe strongly that these bright students, who are sitting next to me today, and others around Oregon, should be engaged in the political process and allowed to express their political views at the ballot box, I ask your support of both SJR and SJR 10 and 11. Regarding SJR 10, as a recent college graduate myself, I have experienced the difficulties of registering to vote during the transition period. I've actually lived in 3 states within the last year, and it was very difficult before the time to register, knowing should I register where my parents live, where I went to college and voted during college, or where I would currently be living and working for the next year, and where representatives and senators would be making decisions that affect my life, and where I would hope to have some input in who was making those decisions. I also had friends who failed to vote due to complications with absentee ballots and not being where they were when they said they would, you know, be and register. There's lots of people leaving college that are moving around and trying to find where they're going to be looking for jobs. And so I think that having an easier process for registering definitely benefits younger people and helps them to be included in the political process. Had there been same day registration here, I probably could have voted here rather than across the country in Florida, where I am not planning to be anytime soon, and I would have been able to have my opinions heard and make decisions that had more implications on my life. And there are many other students in my situation, so therefore I do encourage your support of SJR 10. Also, in support of SJR 11, as the director of the Youth Caucus, I've had a lot of experience working with students who would be affected by this bill. Many of these students know more about politics and their civic responsibilities than many adults twice their age. They read the paper, they volunteer for campaigns, they have political discussions in class, and they understand their values as well as any adult. These students are itching to take part in the political process and exercise the empowering right to vote. In fact, when I mentioned that I was coming here and invited them last night, which many of them couldn't be here because they are in school and have important exams to take, they were like, why can't it be at age 16? We're smart enough and we know more than you do about politics. So I know that this is something that a lot of students look forward to being able to exercise this, and a lot of people that are educated would like to be able to vote even earlier than what this even proposes. So if we have decided that these students and these young voters can take on a responsibility to vote upon their 18th birthday, there is no reason that I see that they shouldn't be able to take part in the entire process that leads up to that general election. And in fact, I would argue that primaries are often the most important elections to take part in, since they offer the most discrete choices between ideological, political, and policy choices of candidates, and are really a time where students can express their views about the role of the candidate or the role of where the country is going and who they'd like to put up in support of their views. If students are trusted to submit their views on November 2nd, they can and should be trusted to make educated decisions about the candidate their party will run. And if they are to be involved in the political process upon their 18th birthday, they should be involved in the intervening primary election, which will have important implications on the overall election outcomes later on. So on behalf of the Youth Caucus and some of Oregon's brightest youth who could not be here today because they are in school, I ask your support of SJR 11. Thank you, Chair Brown and committee, and welcome to questions.
Thank you. Ms. Cooper, do you want to share your comments, and then we'll go to questions.
First of all, I'd just like to thank Chair Brown and the committee members for this opportunity today. My name is Vanessa Cooper, and I'm with the Youth Caucus, which, like I said, is a group of Oregon students who really want to make a difference in their state. And as a politically active and engaged teenager, I definitely value the citizens' right to vote. I'm 15 years old, and I was not allowed to vote in the last election, and I won't be voting in 2006 either. But I understand what it is like to not be old enough to not have a say in my own future. The right to vote when I turn 18 is the privilege that I'm most looking forward to, and I feel that if I were deprived of any aspect of that, I would be very disheartened. The primaries are just as crucial to the election process as anything else, and to take that away would be violating one's constitutional right to nominate and vote for the candidate that they support. So I support the proposed amendment to the Oregon Constitution that would allow 17-year-olds to vote in the primary elections if they will be 18 by the general election. It just seems a little bit ludicrous to me that someone who will be able to vote in the election can have no say in who's nominated during the primary. Every American 18 years or older has the right to vote in all elections, except for those whose 18th birthday falls between the primary and the general election. I don't think that 6 months age difference really affects a person's ability to make a smart decision, and those of us who are involved should be given our full rights. So please support Senate Joint Resolution 11. Chair Brown and committee members, thank you again for your time and consideration.
And Ms. Cooper, where are you in school?
I'm a sophomore at Cleveland High School.
Great. It's a good school. Thank you. Questions for either of these? Senator Farinelli.
Thank you.
It's in my Senate district, that's why I can say that.
I'd like to hear a little description about the success of the Oregon Bus Project. I know you're very active in registering voters. Tell me about the accomplishment.
She's done a lot to work with the voter registration, so I'm going to let somebody start.
Well, I'm actually an intern at the Oregon Bus Project. I worked there, and I was a volunteer for the Bus Project during the fall before the election. And we were able to register hundreds and hundreds of voters, and we won 4 or 5 Senate races, I'm pretty sure.
And 9 out of 10 contested
in the past. Yes, 9 out of 10 contested in the past. And did I say how many voters did you yourself personally register?
I'm not sure, probably about 30, I'd say.
And the Bus Project has had a lot of impact in closely contested races, and brought in, I think one of the biggest successes is bringing in students like Sonita into the political process at age 15 and showing students and young people in general across the state of Oregon that you're never too young to be involved. You may be too young to vote, but you're not too young to learn how the political process works and how you can be more involved. And so we've done a lot of other things specifically with the Youth Caucus, attending rallies and hosting forums and debates and participating in hearings like this for students to understand the role that they can play in Oregon's political process.
And I just want to add, 30 registrations doesn't sound like a lot. I won my first race by 7 votes, so every vote does count. So we really appreciate you working during the campaigns. Senator Farinelli.
Could you give me a number of how many were registered in the Bus Project total?
Mm-hmm. I believe that there are 2 people coming up here soon from the Oregon Bus Project. We're particularly representing the Youth Caucus, and I wasn't here at that time. So I think that would be a great question to address to the Oregon Bus Project representative.
Okay, and in terms of the new one, the Senate races and House races, who's the new?
We, as in all of the candidates that the Oregon Bus Project supported and canvassed for.
How many of those were of which party?
They were all Democrats.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you both very much. Any further questions?
Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming down, and I hope you got excused from Cleveland High School.
Good,
because otherwise the principal's going to call me.
Jared Browner and Jennifer Yocum from the Bush Project, why don't you come on up? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Chair Brown, committee members. Thank you, Senator.
in the fall before the election, and we were able to register hundreds and hundreds of voters, and we won four or five Senate races, I'm pretty sure. And
nine out of ten contested in the past.
And
Ms. Cooper, how many voters did you yourself personally register?
I'm not sure. Probably about 30, I'd say.
And the bus project has had a lot of impact in closely contested races, and we've brought in, I think one of the biggest successes is bringing in students like Sonarita into the political process at age 15 and showing students and young people in general across the state of Oregon that you're never too young to be involved. You may be too young to vote, but you're not too young to learn how the political process works and how you can be more involved. And so we've done a lot of other things, specifically with the Youth Caucus, attending rallies and hosting forums and debates and participating in hearings like this for students to understand the role that they can play in Oregon's political process.
And I just want to add, if 30 registrations doesn't sound like a lot, I won my first race by 7 votes, so every vote does count. So we really appreciate you working during the campaigns. Senator Farrioli.
Could you give me an idea of how many were registered in the bus project total?
I believe that there are 2 people coming up here soon from the Oregon Bus Project. We're particularly representing the Youth Caucus, and I wasn't here at that time. So I think that would be a great question to address to the Oregon Bus Project representative.
Okay, and in terms of we won the Senate races and House races, who's the we?
We, as in all of the candidates that the Oregon Bus Project supported and canvassed for.
Can I ask, Madam Chair, how many of those were of which party?
They were all Democrats.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you both very much. Any further questions? Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming down, and I hope you got excused from Cleveland High School. Good, because otherwise the principal's going to call me. Garrett Downer and Jennifer Yocum from the Bus Project. Why don't you come on up? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Chair Brown, committee members. Thank you, Senators, for the opportunity to testify before you today. My name is Garrett Downen, and I'm asking for your support of Senate Joint Resolutions both 10 and 11. I'd first like to echo the logic that you'll hear today regarding SJR 11. A citizen who will be of legal voting age at the time of the general election should be empowered to help decide which candidates will be before them on the ballot. The youth of this state shouldn't be denied this right. The right bunch, and I've worked with quite a number of them. Regarding SJR 10, I'm active with the Oregon Bus Project, as you heard about just a moment ago, and I should note that there are a couple different aspects to that. There's a PAC which did campaign support, but there was also a 501c4, which was a nonpartisan nonprofit organization, and they worked to register voters from across the state, urban and rural areas, and make sure that everybody was empowered with the right to vote.
Mr. Downer, and the voter registration process is nonpartisan, is it not?
Absolutely. We for instance had a trick of vote was a canvas in the Portland metro area. We had 800 volunteers show up in one night, and we sent them out across the city, all parts of the area, to make sure that this wasn't a registration drive, but this was a ballot collection, encouraging folks to get in there. Similar to other earlier voter registration drives that we did. In terms of scale, just wanted to make sure that everybody got the chance to vote. Moving along, regarding engaging new voters in the political process, we do work to make sure everyone can contribute to our community by involving themselves in democracy. The most basic form of this civic involvement is the act of voting. It is the most basic, but is also the most important. And pushing back the registration deadline would eliminate a barrier and facilitate the involvement of even more Oregonians in our government. And that's a good thing. The bus project registered over 6,000 voters was the number. That was across Oregon throughout 2004. But we missed a few folks. They'd recently moved to the state or across town. Some had gotten married and changed their name. Perhaps they finally decided to get involved. Some of these Oregonians scrounged up a registration card, sat down, filled it out, and even read the fine print and photocopied their license. I know these folks exist because some of them looked up our office location and sauntered in to register to vote. And we had to grimace, apologize, and turn them away because was on the wrong side of the October 12th deadline. Though our vote-by-mail system already allows added convenience and a statewide voter turnout rate that we should all be proud of, the numbers show that same-day registration would further improve participation. The Committee for the Study of the American Electorate showed that voter turnout in states with same-day voter registration increased at over twice the national rate between 1996 and 2000 elections. Every person who wants to vote in future elections should be allowed to make a difference. Please support SJR 10 and SJR 11. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Yocum.
Thank you, Chair Brown, members of the committee. My name, for the record, is Jennifer Yocum, and I'm here in three capacities today. I'm here as a volunteer who has registered into the double digits of, not quite into the triple digits of new voters. Personally, I'm here as someone who is part of the mobile generation, which I'll explain later. And I'm also here as someone who gets people engaged in the political process and helps to educate folks about the issues that affect them for a living. First, briefly, on SJR 11, I just want to highlight all of the comments of Elizabeth Redmond, Lisa Cooper, Garrett Downen, and saying that it makes logical sense to empower folks that will turn 18 in between a primary and a general election, giving them the opportunity to vote in their candidate primary and narrow the playing field for those that will represent them in the general election. I understand from Mandy Miller's testimony and another's testimony, it brings up complications when there's things like measures on the ballot, and I would trust that you would figure those things out better than I would. So I encourage you to pass SJR 11. On SJR 10, I want to address what I mean by being part of the mobile generation. I'm part of a growing community of people that communicate via text messaging, emailing, cell phone use. We don't have home phones. We rarely live in the same state from election to election, let alone at the same address. And it doesn't mean we want to be less involved in our communities. We just live a different lifestyle. When I went to get my driver's license earlier last year, it took me 3 times to get my driver's license. Not because I'm too dense to pass the test, although I'm sure those that know me could argue that. But it was really that I had to produce a specific type of documentation from a financial institution that showed my correct change of address. But I paid my bills online. A check didn't do it, and I had to produce this documentation, and it was very specific. I live a different lifestyle, and the point of that story is really to show you that being mobile is, you know, it is where we're at. It is as our society is changing. So, adapting to this generation, it goes to the choice we're making as a society to embrace high technology. How do we adapt to our laws? How do we adapt our laws? Are we going to continue to deny the changing world around us? Up to same-day voter registration will indeed increase voter participation. It will specifically increase voter participation within this mobile generation, which is ageless. It is mostly young people, but it is increasingly ageless. We will take the responsibility seriously. I want to leave you with a final thought. Outside of the administrative difficulties, I understand the clerk's points, and I sympathize with the county clerk's difficulties, but I think that technology can solve the problems that we're encountering. But I want to leave you with one last thought. I do recognize that sometimes it is in the interest of people of privilege and power to have less people participating in democracy.
and that is the truth. It's human truth of control. Make no mistake, joint resolutions 10 and 11 will increase participation. And as we spread the ideals of democracy across the world, I'm asking that you pass the simple resolution that will indeed increase our involvement in our own governance. Oregon has a history of voter-approved women's suffrage even before the federal amendment passed. We can again be an example to the nation of engaging our people in representative democracy. Please pass these resolutions. Thank you. Okay, questions?
Thank you. Questions? Senator Farrelly.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. BusPAC was very active in the last cycle. I think you said 6,000 new registrations. Who pays for BusPAC?
It wasn't actually BusPAC. It was Bus Project.
Bus Project. Who paid for the Bus Project?
So the registration, the money raised to fund voter registration was raised in all manner of donations from grants to small donations collected by members and larger donations as well.
Okay, who was the largest donor?
I would have to go check the records for specifically for earmarked for voter registration. I would have to check the records on that.
And Madam Chairman, just a further question on BusPAC. How many Republicans did BusPAC support?
Actually, can I clarify something?
Sure.
Specifically, we're here in representation of the Oregon Bus Project, which is the C4 arm, not BusPAC, which is a political action committee arm, which is not related to the voter registration. Is that...
Chairman, I understand the relationship. Question stands. How many Republicans did BusPAC support?
Maybe define support actively, because we did actually sending out postcards and whatnot, thanking certain Republican representatives and senators for their activities in their districts, and we did do postcard drops and that kind of thing.
Well, Madam Chairman, thank you letters are not exactly the same thing as campaign contributions. So I just was trying to get an idea if this is a truly bipartisan organization or whether it's one party or the other is the orientation.
BusPAC or Bus Project?
BusPAC.
BusPAC, as we are not in affiliation or representing, is an organization that does not, that as we can demonstrate with our records, that we supported majority Democratic candidates in the past, had supported some Republican candidates in smaller ways, but we are not limited to that. It is more issue-based and value-based on the policies that those candidates support.
Madam Chairman, maybe I'm a little off the topic here. I'll come back to the topic.
Yeah.
Madam Chairman, do you have any idea about how many voters were registered overall in Oregon in the last cycle?
The new voters,
yes.
Or actually, I would refer to the Secretary of State's office. We tried actually to get some of that information. I don't believe we were interested in the demographics of it, but we were not able to obtain that from the Secretary of State office as they don't have specific demographics.
Okay. And last question.
Senator Farrelly.
The district I represent is has an average of much higher age of average population. It's a rural area. Folks have been typically very stable in those communities, live there sometimes for generations. And we have a number of elderly people, and we're not really retaining youth population. But I also think it's no secret that the district that I represent is far more conservative than some other districts in the state of Oregon. For instance, the growth district, your district.
Yeah.
And a program that focuses on lowering the voting age and aggressively registering young people would really focus political power in rapidly growing communities and where communities where average ages are lower. So wouldn't that disenfranchise rural areas where the population is either declining or elderly?
Do you want to address that? I can speak to that. Only in my own sense of community engagement. I am originally from outside
Philadelphia, but my family grew up in a small farm, and I went to school in central Pennsylvania, and I understand the difference between an urban-rural divide, which is something, as I encourage new people to get in the political process, be involved in the political process, we understand that there is a division there, and we want to bridge that. The only thing that I can speak to is that there is a problem, and we all need to recognize it, that this bill, this evolution in my mind, is not about disenfranchising as your rural area as much as it is saying we all need to recognize that voter participation at all levels, at all incomes, at all demographics and geographic regions really needs to be encouraged, and we need to, as a community, say that it's something important to the state. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Mr. President has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a fascinating discussion, Senator Ferrioli. If you go to Coos Bay and look at Marshville High School, the home of the Pirates, and North Bend High School, the home of the Bulldogs, North Bend High School was a 4A high school. It has now become a 3A high school. At one time, Marshville, a very powerful athletic school, was near 1,900 students. Today, it's 1,200 students. The reason that's happening is the profile of the people living in Coos Bay has dramatically increased in terms of the age. The senior citizens are coming in there because of a golf course and other things, and they're coming in from other states. So, but I think you're correct. It's interesting. There is something playing out down there that actually favors this kind of legislation, too, because these individuals have recently come into the state. They're senior citizens. Their children were raised in other states. And those two high schools down there are struggling to some extent because their number of students in the high schools has so dramatically gone down. So while I think you make a good argument, there are places in rural, small-town Oregon where also another dynamic is taking place that would favor senior citizens who are just coming over the border, too. Having said that, I just want to ask you one question, Jennifer, and I'll be still. The mobile generation.
Mm-hmm. My turn. Yeah.
Having lived in many places over a short period of time. Mm-hmm. This is Oregon, my Oregon. There is no state like this state for going to place on the ballot every single thing imaginable for us to vote on. Mm-hmm. Not just candidates. Civil rights, land use, whether you put somebody in jail, gambling, etc. How am I to be comforted that a person who's just come into my state knows the culture of this state and knows enough about these issues to make an informed choice on these very difficult issues? And I'm not arguing with you, but I found myself wondering about that. I know you're highly intelligent, generation, highly intelligent, quick studies, but this is a difficult state that way because, as you know, we vote on everything in this state. The ballot is extremely long. We don't just vote on candidates. So comfort me, Jennifer, that the mobile generation can come up to speed and know how to vote informed on all these issues.
And just for the record, the Senate president is not a native Oregonian. Very good.
That hurts.
And as this committee already heard, neither is the chair. So,
just for the record, my wife is, my three sons are, and my miniature dachshund is.
Okay.
Native Oregon. Go ahead.
Very good. Very good. Senator Shields, did you have a comment on that as well?
I just would like to point out that no member of this committee is a native Oregon. That's present.
Senator Ringo is, I believe, and Senator Atkinson is, but neither of them are present. So there. So,
Madam Chair, Vice Chair Ferrioli, and President Courtney, I hope that I can comfort you.
Full-time job.
I would argue first that I believe that was probably the argument in not giving African Americans the right to vote. I would argue that that was probably the argument in not giving women the right to vote early. We didn't know enough. And I think that that's part of why we're all here today. That's why we're in a high school. It's to say, we recognize with this privilege comes great responsibility. It is my responsibility as an educator. It is your responsibility as educators and policy makers and leaders in your community to keep the information and the dialogue alive. And we will not stop until we continue to make sure that folks in this audience know about what's on the ballot. The issue. I hope that helps.
Thank you. Thank you both very much. We really appreciate your testimony this morning. With the approval of the principal, I'd like to take just a couple of minutes and ask, allow the audience to ask questions, if that's okay, Madam Principal. Okay. Anybody in the audience have any questions that you'd like to ask? Go ahead. We got a gal and a jacket down front. Oh, can you come up to the microphone? I know there are a couple people, other people wishing to testify, but I just thought it would be good to get a couple questions from the audience. Could you please state your name for the record?
My name is Rachel Westrick, and I was wondering if the making of this of these bills have anything to do with the results of the federal election, how close it was, and that the fact that the young people didn't vote in such percentages that it could overturn the election. And I was wondering if that was influencing the making of this bill.
For the answer to that question, I'll turn it over to Senator Deckert.
Thank you. You know, the inspiration behind, and I was thinking of the conversation that Senator Farioli and Senator Courtney were having. I remember when Mark Hatfield, the great Mark Hatfield, U.S. Senator, was carrying the Motor Voter Act in the United States Senate about 10, 15 years ago. And his final line, and I thought of it in the county clerk's testimony, was we could always point out problems or issues to hurdles, but we and he should always be on the side of allowing citizens to vote. It's the fundamentals of our democracy. And I think Senator Hatfield said it better than ever, is that you could always find little reasons why not to allow citizens greater access to the ballot box. But I hope my legislature is on the side of allowing you and others better opportunities to actually vote and do their duty as a citizen. And that was the inspiration.
Senator Farioli also has a comment.
In the short answer to your question, I think it does have a lot to do with how close these elections have become. For instance, you've looked at the red map, blue map, and you can see the preponderance of the counties voted for Bush in the last election. But if you look at the cities, you know, the major cities in this country, they voted for the opponent. And the bottom line is, I think that people are now focusing on increasing registration in high growth population areas, and in order to try and overcome that trend. In Oregon, we had about almost 400,000 new registrants in the last cycle. And that was because people were out aggressively registering voters, and a lot of that emphasis focused on young people. When you look at the number of registrations that were turned in, about 300,000 of the new voters were Democrat, about 87,000 of them were Republican. So there's definitely an emphasis on young people. There's much more effectiveness, put it that way, in the Democrat process than in the Republican process. But the question that I think we really ought to be thinking about and trying to weigh is whether or not this will make our elections more participatory, or will subject them to the possible undue influences and even fraud. I'll just point to the election in Washington State. Governor Greg Waugh is the seated governor in Washington State. King County posted 2,000 more votes than there were registered voters in the county. So the point is that Oregon needs to have a high level of integrity in the voting system. We have very complicated ballots. They come in two volumes, as the president mentioned, and the issues are extremely important to Oregonians. The question of the age of registration is one of the level of maturity. That's the question. But I do believe that this is, in fact, very much aimed at the question that you brought to the table, which is, does this or is this related to the closeness of national elections? I think it is. I think that that's a very bright question to ask.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your question. Anybody else out there wishing to ask a question? Come on up. This is not typical of a Senate hearing. Usually the senators ask questions. I just thought we would take this opportunity to get some questions from you all. Good morning.
Hi, my name is Allie Grassgreen. I'm a junior at Raymondville High School. And I guess I was wondering,
this summer, before the presidential election, there was a group in our community that was called Students for Kerry, and it supported John Kerry in the election. And we did a lot of work around the community, and I was kind of addressing my question to Senator Farioli because you've been talking a lot about how most of the youth who are going to be registering are going to be voting Democrat, which I would definitely agree with you. But it sounds like rather than being concerned about the youth getting out and being able to register early and then being able to vote in the primary, I don't want to sound mean. I guess I'm kind of wondering if some of the senators may be more concerned about not necessarily allowing the youth to vote if they're not going to be voting Republican, when at the same time the youth Republicans, like I know a lot of youth who are Republicans at my high school, not as many as there are Democrats, but I do know a lot, and they're going to have the same opportunities to be able to go out and pre-register to vote as the Democrats are. So if everyone's going to have the same opportunity, I guess my question is, why would you not support it when there are people out there who care and who want to get involved and really make their voice heard, even though they're younger?
Madam Chairman, if I might ask you a question.
Sure.
The proponents of the measure point out that there's a myth about same-day registration, and that is that it is, in fact, a common misconception that the same-day registration would disproportionately advantage the Democratic Party. Those states that have these kind of registrations, and there's only six of them, are evenly split between Republicans and Democrats. I don't necessarily think there's an advantage position for either party as long as we try to spread the opportunity as wide as possible for folks to register. A lot of folks believe that all young people ought to be Democrats. And as they grow older and perhaps get a different perspective and become taxpayers, they switch to Republican. That's what I did. I started out as a Democrat and switched my registration to Republican. As a matter of fact, the chairman started out as a Republican and switched to Democrat. Now, both of us will argue that's as we got smarter as we got older. I went Republican, she went Democrat. The bottom line is that I worry more about the level of maturity, because these decisions affect all of us and they're very complicated. And I also worry because I represent a very rural area where the aging population is declining and age is increasing, that anything that increases the franchise or the ability for political power to be concentrated in cities decreases the franchise and political power in rural areas. So those are concerns. It's not so much a partisan Democrat-Republican thing. It's just, how is the balance of power statewide going to be maintained? Thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to respond, not because I grew up as a Republican, but because I just think it's so important that young people get involved and vote. And I believe the statistics for the 18 to 34-year-olds is that 1 out of 4, 1 out of 5 vote. Is that right, Jesse? It's very, very low. So for me, these two resolutions are just a way of getting folks involved, and I think it's really critical that we take whatever means. 1 out of 10 nationally, 18 to 34-year-olds vote. So it's very low. So college age. So.
Yeah, there are a lot of us who, like, we get involved in our community, like, you know, making calls and stuff like that, but we really want to be able to get out and vote. So this is, like, a really great opportunity for us.
Well, thanks for coming forward this morning.
Thank you.
Last person. Anybody else? Okay, come on up. Good morning.
Hello today. I'm Chris Hendricks. I go to this high school.
Great.
I was just wondering.
Just so you know, the Senate president was so upset that no one from Woodburn High School had testified, so he'll be pleased to know that you came forward this morning.
Oh, it was a little short notice on our part.
Yeah.
I was just wondering what exactly could this bill, both of them, do for a town like ours, Woodburn, and if you feel free to pass it over to Comp over there.
Okay. I will pass it over to Representative Comp. But what I would tell you is until people vote, it will do nothing. Either resolution would do nothing. With that, I'll turn it over to Representative Comp.
Well, what I would say is the statistic for our district here is the same as what you just heard
cited, that the younger group is the lowest participants in any election process. And having taught a number of you and was your principal, I know that you have strong views and opinions. The thing that you need to do as any voter is to be, you know, recognize the issues and be involved and understand them. And how it would help us, it would help you help your children to participate, because you are to that age where, and the other, so that you, I can't even discuss how important it is for students to believe that your voice matters. You came forward today and it does matter. We do hear you. And that's the way you do that through your own representation, is to vote. And I would encourage everybody here. And there are a number of students in this high school that are already 18. And you have that opportunity to get yourself registered. And most student service centers have a registration card for voter identification. And if this is just part of the process for you to be informed.
I would just argue that
or the ability for political power to be concentrated in cities decreases the franchise and political power in rural areas. So those are concerns. It's not so much a partisan Democrat Republican thing. It's just, how is the balance of power statewide going to be maintained? Thank you.
I just want to respond, not because I grew up as a Republican, but because I just think it's so important that young people get involved and vote. And I believe the statistics for the 18 to 34 year old is that 1 out of 4, 1 out of 5 vote. Is that right, Jessica? It's very, very low. So for me, these two resolutions are just a way of getting folks involved. And I think it's really critical that we take one of the means. 1 out of 10 nationally. 18 to 34 year olds vote. So it's very low. So
college age.
Yes. So yeah, there are a lot of us who, like, we get involved in our community, like, you know, making calls and stuff like that, but we really want to be able to get out and vote. So this is, like, a good opportunity for us. Yeah. Thanks for coming forward this morning. One last person. Yes, okay, come on up. Come on,
I'm Chris Hendricks. I go to this high school.
Good.
I was just wondering.
The Senate President was so upset that no one from Woodburn High School had testified, so he'd be pleased to know that you came forward this
morning. Oh, it was a little short notice on our part. I was just wondering what exactly could this bill, both of them, do for a town like ours, Woodburn, and if you feel free to pass it over to Comp over there.
Okay, I will pass it over to Representative Comp. But what I would tell you is, until people vote, it will do nothing. Either resolution will do nothing. With that, I'll turn it over to Representative Comp.
Well, what I would say is the statistics here, our district here is the same as what U.S. Church cited, that the younger group is the lowest participants in the election process. And having taught a number of you and was your principal, I know that you have strong views and opinions. The thing that you need to do as any voter is to be, you know, recognize the issues and be involved and understand them. And how it would help us, it would help you help your children to participate, because you are to that age where, and the other, so
I can't even discuss how important it is for students to believe that your voice matters. You came forward today, and it does matter. We do hear you. And that's the way to do that, too. Your own representation is to vote. And I'd encourage everybody here. And there are a number of students in this high school that are already 18. And you have that opportunity to get yourself registered. And most student service centers have a registration card for voter identification. And if this is just part of the process for you to be informed.
I would just argue that if half the legislature were made up of legislators under the age of 30, I think the conversation on school funding would be a very different one. I think the conversation on ensuring access to children's health care would be a different one. So I think your voice really matters, and I think you have to exercise it. So thanks for coming today. All right, we have two last people to testify, Andrew Hall and Marge Easley. I just also want to note from the record, Morgan Collin from the Oregon Student Association is here in support. I just know that Ms. Collin's available at the state capitol to come testify another time. And we've got more folks signed up. We may not be able to take you unless these two folks still agree with you, so we'll see what we can do, okay?
Good morning, thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Andrew Hall, and as a volunteer, I have helped register voters in the last two presidential elections. I'm here today to ask you to support Senate Joint Resolutions 10 and 11, because I think both would improve Oregon's voting system and be more fair to potential voters. To give you some brief background on my experience with voters, last fall I worked with several organizations and on my own on voter outreach activities. In the course of my activities, I registered about 40 voters in Oregon. After the registration deadline on October 12th, I encountered several Oregonians who missed the registration deadline and could not vote on the 2nd. Most of these were people who had only recently moved to Oregon and the flurry of moving activities. These people had simply missed the registration deadline and were unaware of it. It seems unfair to have prohibited these new Oregonians from voting on issues and candidates that would affect their lives in their new home state. This is why I support Senate Joint Resolution 10. I support Senate Joint Resolution 11 because I think it is unfair to deny young voters who will vote in the general election in November the chance to vote in the May primary, which will decide their choice of candidates. I believe all eligible voters should have the chance to help choose their party candidates in the primary, and I think we should do whatever we can to improve this process. Again, I ask you to support and pass Senate Joint Resolutions 10 and 11 to improve our voting system and make it even more fair. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Chair Brown, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Marge Beasley, and I'm Action Chair for the League of Women Voters of Oregon. As a nonpartisan, grassroots political organization, the League encourages citizens to be informed and participate in government. In support of the voter registration process that is accessible, well-publicized, and easily understood, as well as easy to implement and administer. And we support a registration cutoff requirement that does not disenfranchise otherwise qualified voters. That being said, on SDR 10, Election Day Registration, we had some concerns about the burden placed on election workers, and we'd like to know whether we can work something out to accommodate that burden that would be placed on same day registration. Possibly, the cutoff could be 10 days before an election as a compromise. This is one thing that we suggest, rather than same day, maybe just lengthening the period to 10 days before. But if we are for the most people that can vote to vote on election days, so whatever accommodations can be made, technology will increase our abilities. And so we are not opposed to this measure, but we would like to not place an undue burden on the county election workers. I thank you for this opportunity, and before I close,
I would like to say that I am here today to register voters. I will be outside. I have voter registration materials. And if students will be 18 before May 17th.
Is there anybody in the audience that fits that? See your hand. See a couple hands. Okay.
Okay. May 17th is the next election. If you will be 18 before that date, I'll be happy to register you outside. You don't need proof of identification, but you just need to be able to fill out the form for me. And I will take them to the Marion County office, elections office. And also I have materials in both English and Spanish.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks both of you very much. For the audience's information, we're not going to work these bills today. One, because we don't have a full committee and we probably don't have enough votes to work them. But number two, I'm going to sign Senator Deckert to head up a work group on both SGR 10 and 11 to try and fine-tune the language of both of those measures to see if they can get enough votes both in the committee and on the Senate floor, which requires a majority of votes, which would be 16 out of the 30 senators. And with that, I'd like to ask the last three folks to testify, Megan Maeda, Kemper Azagami, and Morgan Collin. Why don't you all come on up and we'll get your testimony on the record. Is that okay, Senator Deckert? Are you ready to do a work group? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Megan Maeda, and I am the co-communications director for the Portland State College Democrats.
Great.
I got to talk to you first from several standpoints. I was an organizer for the 2004 presidential election as well as Oregon state election. I come to you as a person representative of the demographic least started to register to vote. I'm a young woman of color with vision of income. So, and I'm also coming from the standpoint of the young activist whose birthday happens to be in November. So, first of all, I personally registered probably 20 to 50 people this past election. And I was there for the final push in the beginning of October, right up to the 12th to get everybody registered. After that, I saw the people and I was talking to them.
Can I stop you for just a minute? Let me know that you taught me. So we appreciate you being here this morning and for participating.
Thank you.
Thank you for allowing me to interrupt.
It's all good. And to speak to SGR 10 and Clean Bay registration and voting, if you could see the people's faces and talk to them about the issues and how interested that they get and how totally excited they are to create change in our policies in Oregon, they wanted to vote that day and they wanted to get registered, but it was after October 12th and they couldn't, and it was very disappointing as an organizer to have to deal with that. And as far as getting everybody together and organized, it was just very difficult, and I am a firm supporter of these two bills because I understand what it feels like to have to wait for next year to vote and to have to wait to have your voice heard. So I ask the community to vote in support of these bills. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kenzo Azagami, and to give you a bit of background on myself, I was a campus organizer at Portland State University for the 21st Century Democrats Young Voter Project. In 2 weeks, in the first 2 weeks of October, we made contact with over 3,000 voters at Portland State and turned out and mobilized the rest of young voters throughout Oregon and across the nation. I work with the Young Voter Project from June to November, and I would say that I personally registered over 100 people to vote in those months. The number one reason that people do not vote in this country is really simple and stupid. It's that nobody asks them to. I've seen this over and over again in my work that I've done, and It's a way that I am really glad that you guys are considering this bill and bringing this forward, because it's another group of people, the Oregon Senate's asking people to vote. It's really, that's what it takes. I understand the concerns that come about because of some of the legislation, but I believe that we need to err on the side of including people in the process. We need to err on the side of telling people, no matter what, you have the right to vote. No matter what, you will help Oregon vote. We have the responsibility to the residents of the state to make sure that they are participating in the process in whatever reason possible. I think that, you know, being a college student at Portland State presents like a big variety of challenges that we have here, like, you know, moving around so much, figuring out where we're going to be, and it's really hard to know where your ballot is going to be mailed to 14 days before the election. It's really hard to know to figure that out sometimes when you're living month to month, rent at paycheck to paycheck. And
like legislators do.
Exactly. So, making some of the legislation would really reduce the hurdle that we have in knowing where we are, what are we going to do on election day. And I just want to close with the story that I have when I was working. On November 2nd at 3 p.m., I was approached at our information table by a woman named Tanisha, who had moved to Oregon. I moved to Oregon in September to... And she was like, I've got done moving, I've got everything I need to do, I'm ready to register to vote. And honestly, I couldn't tell her that, the voter registration deadline had passed. It's been one of the most disappointing and depressing things to do in my life. And I honestly gave her my cell phone and got connected to, a national operator with the election protection organization and have them tell her that she had missed the registration deadline, because I really just couldn't do that. So I really just urge you to support Senate Joint Resolution 10. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Collins? Thank you, Senator Brown and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Morgan Kellen, and I'm the Legislative Director of the Oregon Student Association. The Oregon Student Association represents the students at the Oregon University System Institutions, Oregon Health and Science University, and Lane Community College. And I'm here to support both the Senate Joint Resolution 10 and 11. First, I would like to explain why I'm here supporting Senate Joint Resolution 10. During the last election cycle, the Oregon Student Association, as a member of the Student Vote Coalition, registered 33,000 students and young people across the state. This voter registration drive could have and would have been much more successful had we had an extra 20 days. Students return to campuses at the end of September, September 30th. I can't remember the exact date, but I don't know. Basically giving us 12 days to register as many students as we can and on their campus addresses where they will be receiving their ballots. Plus, there is huge education that needs to be done to make sure that students know and vote by mail state. Every time you move, you have to re-register because ballots cannot be forwarded. Many young and new voters are unaware of these requirements, and we take on the responsibility to ensure that students are engaged in the political process. If we were able to register 26,000 of our 33,000 total voters in 12 days, just imagine what we could do with 20 extra days. I think during this discussion, it is also important to realize the significant increase in voter turnout in the 6 states with same-day voter registration. According to a report completed by DEMOS, a national think tank and advocacy organization in New York City, in states with election day registration or same-day voter registration, voter registration is 8% higher and turnout in those states is 9% higher. I've also attached some information to that. And same-day voter registration also helps increase youth participation in elections. Research conducted by Fitzgerald found election day registration increases youth turnout in presidential elections by an estimated 14%, 14 percentage points, and an estimated 4 percentage points in midterm elections. Oregon's vote by mail system has increased voter turnout significantly. We are so much riding on the results of our initiative process, including land use, demerge, and the future of funding our schools. We should be doing everything we can to ensure as many Oregonians vote as possible, and that no one ever is turned away from the opportunity of voting.
While evidence from the 6 state system of voter registration shows increases in voter registration, turnout, and youth participation, Senate Joint Resolution 11 would do the same. While Oregon has been the leader of many movements across the country, including vote by mail, we would not be the sole state to allow those 17 to vote in primaries when there will be 18 by the general election. North Carolina, Kentucky, and Ohio, to name a few of the dozen states, already allow 17-year-olds to vote in primaries. Allowing young people to vote in the primaries will hopefully increase the investment young people feel in the electoral process early. Both Senate Joint Resolution 10 and 11 will increase Oregon's already high voter registration, turnout, and youth participation, and the ASA strongly supports all of these goals. Thank you. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Any questions, Senator Lynn?
Madam Chair, thank you. This is a question for my two colleagues from the Democrats from Portland State University, and then I have a question for the statewide organization. Will it now have been added to the depth of your testimony to bring representatives from the Young Republicans group from Portland State University?
We didn't really work with them in this last election, registering them to vote, so we don't really have any of their numbers as to what their registration drive process was. They didn't contact us about this meeting, and we had no idea that they had any idea what this has been going on right now.
Honestly, this is like, I was just finding out about this last week, and we're organizing our small group delegation to come down here. But, you know, I can kind of guess what your underlying motivation for asking that question is, Mr. Sander. And honestly, I don't understand why voter registration is a partisan issue. I don't understand why people want to say, oh, you can't register to vote. I don't understand why people are enacting barriers to do voter registration. You know, before I moved down to Oregon and started going to college at Portland State, I used to live in Alaska, and I registered to vote at 17 because laws would provide that I could do that. Which, you know, and it's a great, another way of getting people motivated in the process, like Senate Resolution 11 to do. So I don't, you know, it would have been great if we had brought the College Republicans down here, but, you know.
Just to let the two of you off the hook, committee staff called the college,
Senate emailed
all the college, the Democratic and Republican organizations to notify them of this committee hearing. So, my question is, why aren't there a Republicans here this morning? I would like to mention, if I can, that all of the College Democrats' efforts this year to register voters was completely nonpartisan. Anybody who got, we just handed out the registration cards, we didn't care what they checked. That was our bottom line when we were talking to people. We don't care who you vote for, we just want you to vote.
And the question for the statewide organization, the Oregon Student Association. Students normally register in their home states to vote if they're of legal voting age in their home states. Normally they register for absentee ballots, and they receive those absentee ballots. Isn't there a danger of seeing individuals receiving a home state absentee ballot from their home state and also voting in the Oregon election?
Chair Brown, Senator Farrelly, I do not have numbers that show what the percentage of those who are registered in their home districts is. We encourage students when they move to the state, or if they've moved even between counties within the state, to register at their university address, because they will be a part of that community for the next 2 or 4 years. If you're going to be part of that community, you want to be invested in the legislators who are elected in that area as well. So that's why we focus so much of our time on university or community college campuses during that time frame.
And now to a final question.
Yes,
do you advise students that if they vote in their home state election and also vote in the Oregon election, that they would be violating state and federal law?
Chair Brown and Senator Lilly. We are really careful to make sure, especially with our Alaskan residents, that we're not re-registering them because they can lose their dividend. Also, I think that there are a couple of states where either there's a reciprocity with a Ritchie or a Lilly, where they're getting the Western Inner College higher exchange, sorry, I don't know, but where they actually receive in-state tuition in Oregon for their home district, whether it be Washington or some of the Western states, so we don't re-register there and here because they might lose the tuition, lose the program that they're applying for. So those are the things that we primarily look out for, but we definitely are aware when people are moving. Also, too, because there's a lot of education that has to be done around specifically the vote by mail and how Oregon's process works. So we do a lot of education when we're out there registering voters.
And specific question, do you let students know that if they vote in their home state and they vote in Oregon, they violate state and federal law?
I have done some voter registration, and I haven't particularly ever ran into that case, so I can only speak from my personal experience.
Did you want
to respond to
Sean? Yeah, I'd like to respond that that was one of the biggest things that we focused on when we were doing voter registration outreach. Every time we registered somebody to vote, we asked them at least three times, are you registered to vote in another state? Are you registered to vote at another address? Are you registered to vote somewhere else other than what the address you're putting down is card in front of you? Because if you are, you need to cancel that registration, otherwise you will be breaking the law. We are very aware of the fact of voter fraud and like how the system in Oregon is designed. I can have that happen. So it's, that's one of the things we were very careful about. But, we urge people to register to vote where they felt their primary residence was, as the Supreme Court said. And, for most college students, that happens to, your primary residence happens to be on campus because you spend 9 months out of here.
Thank you, the three of you very much. We really appreciate your time and energy on a not happy note, and I hope we will get some music here in a moment. I wanted to say thank you to Woodburn High School for all their efforts in having us here. Yeah. Thank you to our witnesses and our senators who agreed to join us this morning.
Thank you.
Yeah,